Yo, 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 this is Eric, and this is, you're listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford Tufts Reform Radio, and we're back. So today I'll be subbing. We're going to hit you with some random music. I might step in for a couple of times just to speak, but I think I'll probably wait until 2 when the actual show starts. For now, here's some Tim McGraw, I guess. Oh wait, gotta get all of this set up first. Classic, classic closing time at Applebee's behavior. Here you go. So strange. Having some technical difficulties while I get this all set up. There we go.
Dress up, pick her up to watch TV.
So silly. Always like me some Tears for Fears. So subbing, very, very fun little activity. I don't even know if I'm supposed to talk during these, but you know what? Let's give it a shot. We'll see what happens. We'll mess around and find out. Thinking. Okay. Well, I guess little topic for next few minutes. Leading up to the show, I was hanging out with one of my friends, and I was just like for a solid 15 minutes, I managed to figure out like a 2-hour playlist, which you will now experience the pleasure of listening to parts of it. Now that I realize that I may talk through some of the show, and I may have not needed a 2-hour playlist for it. Anyways, I opened up a Google Doc, named it Closing Time of Applebee's 11:10. 11:11, sorry. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to sit down for 30 minutes. I'm going to write down a whole script. Then I opened it up, and my will to write completely disappeared from every single bone in my body. So there you go. Now I have to figure out how to fill in 2 hours of airtime with something other than music, because as much as I like listening to music, I would like to also practice and talk on air, because it's funny. I mean, I guess I could go over a couple of ideas that have been running through my mind, which we might go through, seeing as this is a 2-hour stream. Don't know if that's legal or not, but anyways, I think we might try out some drawing segments where I may have some music play. Like a slew of songs, and then I'll draw something and within that time, and then if I don't draw anything good, that's all me. That's my fault. That's my B. Second thing, I don't know how many people are willing to call at midnight or like at 1 a.m. or 2 a.m., which is when the actual show happens. But I do some like little questions, some like a little open-ended question, just because, you know what? Why not? We'll gauge the interest of the public and see what they have to say. Should I even throw out my own public life into the air like that, bro? Like I know it's like late, but like there's like always late night listeners, so I can't be doing that. But you know, that may come up. It may be like, you know, abstract as close to being like not like actually my own life, but like, you know, just like implied or something like that. Anyways. What else do I have on the board? What do I have going on right now? Anyways, you know what? We'll throw on some music. Next, we'll play "Fooled Around and Fell in Love" by Elvin Bishop. Hello, denizens of the underground. We actually have a caller. I don't know how it happened, but here you go. David, you're
hello,
on air.
Everyone.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, I can hear you. I don't know if the rest of the air can hear you.
Is this the one and only... God, what's this called? Closing time?
This is the sub for... What is this called?
For,
I think this is called Britney's...
Aspiral Britney? That's what it says.
Aspiral Britney. I actually love them. I like saw them once last like 2 weeks ago, and they were so nice.
Well, that's awesome. Is their name actually Britney?
No, I think it's like... Is it Shane? No,
you can't say it then if it's not actually Britney.
It's not Britney, yeah. It's Anastasia. Homie.
I just said not to say it, bro. We can't give that away.
give away the real identity of every single DJ on WMFO.
The Spec Radio is
run by Sam Derringer.
You can find him in Lewis.
Lewis All 412.
No,
that's my address. Okay. All right. Before we continue, I'd like to introduce our caller. This is my good friend David Palomar.
Bro, you're giving me.
He listens. David, would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, I guess I should now because my name is out there. Yeah, my name is David, and I'm coming for you.
He is indeed.
That is all.
David, is there anything you'd like to say to the folks on air?
I'm submitting an essay right now, actually, and I'm hoping it goes well while I'm listening to Boogie Wonderland, or that's the last thing I heard.
Look at this loser doing homework on a school night.
Yeah, well, I'm actually at home right now. So not only am I a loser doing schoolwork on a school night, I'm a loser doing schoolwork at home.
It's like no. We don't hate on David. We don't hate on anyone on this show. In fact, David is our beloved.
Thank you, my Eric's beloved Lewis 412.
Lewis 412 resident.
Wait. So is this technically the show you're subbing for, or is this yours right now?
This is technically the show I'm subbing for. It's actually.
Oh my god, the poor fans.
It goes. Their show goes crazy. Actually, like I've heard like a little sample. Like a 10-minute sample, it was actually like pretty fire.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well.
I got a question for you now that I got you hooked.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Prepare yourself for this philosophical conundrum.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather live, or have big muscles and die?
Live with like no muscles and then die with muscles? Is that the question?
No. Like you continue living as the way that you were, but then like the other option is you die instantly, but you like grow like a mass of muscles.
I'd rather live the way I am.
I don't know, dude. It seems like you're giving up a lot for absolutely monstrous pecs.
But if I'm so ripped and I'm dead.
Yeah, but you, like, keep them.
I what them?
You keep them. Like, they're on your skeleton and everything.
What? Can I move?
No, you can't. You're dead.
Am I, like, a ripped zombie? Or am I just dead and I have muscles?
No, like, your corpse gets frozen, like, Lenin style.
Oh, is someone going to, like, revive me in a few years, or am I just dead with muscles?
No, you're just dead with muscles. You just got, like completely, like... It's like Lennon, you know how, like, Lennon's body is, like, covered in, like, plastic?
Yeah, well, it was more than that. I can't enjoy it then. But let me ask you the same question. What would you say? Would you want to be dead with muscles?
Yeah, well, when you put it like that, like...
Like, you phrased the question with muscles, but you'd be dead. I'm like, no, you'd be dead with muscles.
No, but what I'm trying to say is that...
What are you trying to say?
what I'm trying to say is that I would give it all up for the gains.
For the gains, but Who's gonna know you have gains if you're like in a freezer? Like
everybody who attended my funeral, I can have a Lenin style where like people pay to see my corpse.
If you did that, I would kiss your pecs.
There we go. Yeah. See, like who would not like give that up? Like, think about it. Think about it like that.
It's like the moment you get gains, just die. Like.
Yeah. Well, it's like as you're like getting your gains, you just instantly die as well.
So is there like a build up? Is there like a level of gains that once I hit that, then I die, or is it like the moment I get slightly more gains than I am now?
No. Like you get the gain. Yeah. Right. You like gain your gains, and then once you're at your peak, you die. Does that make it better?
No, bro. I'm still gonna live. You know, Eric, we live in a modern society. We live in a society where the gains do not determine someone for who they are.
Keep living that lie, Snowflake.
Keep telling yourself that cupcake, okay? How was Curtis Hall tonight?
Curtis Hall is very quiet. I really enjoy being out here, just like in the I don't know, it's like a whole vibe. I think if I had a guest here, it would be very different.
That'd be scary. I feel like you would murder them.
What? Hello?
Hello?
Please be aware, listeners, that I'm not a murderer. I'd like to make that very clear. And to any officers currently listening to the air, I'm not a murderer. I
need CUPD officers. Oh, if Officer Jessica Bowers is out there, thank you so much for driving me last night to get my camera. It was very helpful.
David, would you like to recount your tale of tomfoolery on air?
Not really, just in case CUPD is listening. I didn't do anything bad, to clarify. I did not do anything wrong. I simply lost a bag, and TUPD helped me find it. Just clarify.
Nothing illegal was ever committed in or around buildings.
Never.
There was, in fact, no breaking or even entering, for that matter.
Exactly. No, absolutely nothing of any intellectual. No, nothing. Yeah. Wow. Can you not tell how many people are on this?
any listeners listening here, you have not been accounted for. I do not know if you have been accounted for. I do not know where to access that information.
If you are listening to this, go on to Twitter and tweet out chicken fried rice and we'll find you.
Hey, listeners, how about you just don't use Twitter? Especially now, you have to pay $4 to be verified. Imagine that.
You do?
Yeah, or you have to pay $4 a month or something. It's like pretty crazy.
You have to pay to be verified? Wait, actually?
Okay, fellas, as much as I like enjoying spreading misinformation, I will verify this very quickly.
I got you. Bro. You have to pay to be verified on Twitter.
Yes, sir. $8 per month.
Oh, my God. $8 per month?
It's actually kind of crazy. I was watching a video on this where prior to the system, it was like it was kind of like all done in secret where you had to pay like publicists to like post articles about you. And through that, you could basically be verified, but you're also paying publicists. So it's like it's still like a gatekept way of being verified. Yeah.
Oh, also, sorry, completely different topic. Google is telling me that it's Veterans Day.
Wait, but what?
Thank you. It's Veterans Day, and I thought we should give them a shout-out. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, dude. My alarm for when I was actually supposed to get up for this show, for my actual show.
Were you going to go to bed before your actual show?
No, I would never. I just needed an alarm to let me know that I needed to start walking to Curtis.
Well, that scared me so much.
gotta keep it's like the parrot scene in Citizen Kane. You gotta keep your audience awake.
sure. Hey, audience, you awake out there? I think ATO is throwing down tonight. You should get out of that that little house and listen to the little brass.
Pop off, King. you're getting somewhere.
I told them. I told them off like that.
Actually, if you want to go to ATO tonight, I know a brother. His name is David Palomar, and he might not live at the house, but he lives in Latin Way.
Dude, do you know my room number?
It's the one on the left.
He's not wrong.
No, I am wrong because I know it's on the right, across from the bathroom, which is on the left.
No, but like the actual door is to the left, like of the suite.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I thought you were asking for like your actual like room and not like the apartment. Like.
Yeah. I guess technically my door is on the right.
David, you seem like a right doors kind of a person.
I am a right door type of guy. Would you rather be a right or a left, Eric?
I don't. I feel like I'd be a left door. No. Like, because if you choose a left door, then the handle would be on your left, right? Or would it be on the right?
It would be on your left. Wait. I guess like if you're facing the door, the handle will always be on the right.
Okay, right? Is that right?
Yeah, right. How does that work?
Yeah, then I think it'd be like a left door person because I like want to open it with my right.
Yeah, but then like if the door opened inwards to the room, then you'd have to like bend your arm to get in, whereas opposed to if the door's on your right, you just swing it open as your arm naturally goes. You get what I'm saying?
No, well, I feel like, but then if it's a left door, then you'd open it to with your left arm. Wait, what? Wait.
Like, your momentum, if you're walking, and then you, like, open a door and you continue walking through it, you're going to use your right arm, right?
No, wait, what? Wait, I lived, like, on a, my hallway's, like, my door is on the left. Yeah, I live in the left, but, like, it doesn't really affect me when I open the door with my right and I have to, like, curl it.
Well, great. That's good for you.
Bro gave up on the argument.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that wild? Isn't that crazy?
Confirmation bias. I never heard that, and I've never experienced that, so I don't care.
David, would you like to give us some insight into psych?
Into psych?
Yeah.
Psychology or intersex specifically?
As a future psych major, would you like to give us some insight into your psych career?
Oh, God, I wish I knew that. That'd be so cool if I knew what I was going to do with psychology. But sure, what my plan is right now, if all goes well, I don't even know, like, if anyone knows Maurice Parent, I really love what he's doing right now because he's a professor in practice, which means that he's a professor here at Tufts, but he also is still an actor in like the theater industry. So he's in a show right now called Joe Turner's Coming Away. I think it only goes till November 13th, so you should go check it out. But like what Maurice says, I think is amazing because he like gets to teach theater, but he also gets to like do it professionally at the same exact time. Like honestly, that'd be a perfect future for me. That's my goal. Where does psychology fit into that? You might ask. I don't know. Don't ask me. Okay.
Truth is that David wants to understand his own mind as well as the mind of others.
That is literally true. I have no idea what I'm going to do with psychology in like a professional working sense, but in the sense of like me living as a human being, I have no idea how humans work. I am 20 years old. I've been trying to figure out for 20 years and I still did not get humans. So I am now majoring in psychology for the sole purpose of trying to understand all of you.
You know what? And that for you viewers is the message of this show, of this particular show in particular, is that you don't need to know what you want to do. Just do exactly. whatever feels good for you, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Am I going to be unemployed? Yeah. Well, I'll understand why I wanted to.
No. David's from New York. He's quite a handsome fellow from New York. So obviously, he could find work. He could find work in a deli.
I could be a waiter.
Yeah, you never know. Or he could also be like that guy who like marries, gets married to himself in at Central Park.
Bro, I literally need to marry like a scientist or a doctor. I need to marry rich. Get me out of here.
David, I can't wait for you to have your struggling self-publishing author arc where you find the true meaning of family at the end of it.
Okay. I'll let you know when that happens.
It could happen tomorrow. You never know.
It could happen tomorrow. We never know.
Could happen.
Maybe I'll realize the real family was the WMFO I met along the way.
what do you mean by the
I don't know, bro. What do you mean by
the F and WMFO stands for friends, and we all know that.
Aw, and the W stands for women.
And the M stands for men, and the O stands for
ostrich.
I feel like saying others is very mean.
Others? Nah, you can't say others. It's got to be like oysters or something.
Oyster? I don't know about that. That's like animalization.
You don't like animals, Eric?
I do like animals. In fact, I am studying to be a vet. It's kind of crazy.
I know. You're gonna be out there like... You're going to be a marine biologist.
I'm going to point at an oyster in the water and be like, yep, that's it. There it is.
Yep, I saved them.
I'm about to write a whole 4-page book, four-page study that's gonna say, yep, that's an oyster.
You're gonna write a 4-page book. Wow, that's amazing.
it's gonna be self-published by me. I'm gonna add my cat as part of the my co-contributors.
Bro, you have a cat? What?
This is all in the future, okay? I'm just making stuff up, okay? This is part of my 5-year plan.
This is like when we predict the story before it happens in like the prologue.
What? Wait, what?
What?
Well, what
like the prologue?
The prologue? Like speaking of prologue, Interrobangers, David?
The Interrobangers. That's the thing that happened, yeah.
Would you like to speak about your experience on it?
I would love to. I guess, like, you know what? I'm just going to start from the beginning, because who cares, right?
Pop off,
like,
King. Yeah, pop off.
And I? All right, awesome, yeah. I think it was, like, September 8th of 2021. I auditioned for the Interrobangers. This was last year. And I got called back, and it was this room full of people, one of which was Eric Salgado.
Real.
Who I did not know at the time, but he was there.
I was a background character.
And then anyway, so the callback was, for anyone who saw the show, the callback was a scene in the diner called the Jackalope. And Joe Rez is so grateful to them.
Real.
And then, who was it? Who else was in that room? Was Sam in that room at that point? Was Sam there already?
Ethan Dunn, a friend of the show.
Ethan Dunn was actually not there. He was at Emory that weekend, I remember.
I remember he was there, right? Or no, wait. Whatever you're talking about.
The callbacks.
Last
year.
Yeah
Ethan Dunn was not there.
Sam Derringer was not there.
Oh, it was Tatiana, sorry.
Yeah.
Tatiana, what is Tatiana's last name? Emory? It might be.
Emory, something like that, yeah.
If for some reason you're listening, Tatiana, I'm so sorry. I forgot your last name. Anyway. It was Joe Rez and Tatiana, and they were just like, we were going through this scene just like over and over with like this group of 20 people just cycling through characters, and they kept putting me as this character called The Guy, and I was like, why am I reading the guy like 8 times in the same scene? So I was like, all right, whatever. So we got the cast list about a few days later, and I was actually cast as that character, the guy, as well as Sheriff Craig. And I was very surprised, but also excited to see that Ethan Dunn, my very good best friend, who is currently in Georgia, he was cast as Hoover the dog, which it surprised me because he could not make it to the callbacks, but he still got the part, so baller move on his part. So then we were going to our first rehearsal. I remember this is freshman year. We're so new to Tufts. We're in DeWitt, and we get this email that is like news about the production of The Interrobangers. And it just says this production has been postponed. And we were like, what is this? This was the night of the first rehearsal. We weren't even there yet. We hadn't even met the entire cast. And then they just canceled it. And we were like, damn, that sucks. So fast forward to May of 2022, we get an email from the wonderful Melanie Litwin.
Friend of the show.
The goat for real. Melanie, if you are listening, which I don't know why you would be, but if you are, I don't know why you shouldn't be, but if you are, have an amazing night. You are the goat.
Real. Emphasized.
And she said that they were offering us the same part. So I actually spent a long time thinking about it because I was like, at that point, I had already been in a production show at Tufts. I had done some student theater, and I was like, should I do this as a department show? That like I read the script for once, but like I didn't really know that much about it. So I spent like a week thinking about it, and then I was like, you know what? Let's do it. I heard that the beautiful man, Eric Salgado, was going to be one of the deck managers for the show, and I was like, you know what? This show is going to be amazing no matter what. And so we get to September, and the rehearsal process starts, and my characters were very NPC.
In what way?
I thought, at least, because there were very few stage directions, very few lines for them. And so Joe Rez, the reason why I loved working with them is that I've never worked with a director who gave me, like, such opportunities to just, like, do whatever I wanted to. Because I've had parts before that, like, did not have much context clues. And so I'd always try something, like, super goofy, and past directors would be like, no, like, that's going to take away from the scene. But I think it's probably the nature of the show that it is supposed to be, like, a little cartoonish, but, like, seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, in a serious tone, I mean. Like, cartoonish, but in a serious way. And Joe really just let me sort of explore what that meant. There were some things that I realized didn't really make sense for the show. Some things I would try out and be like, let's try it a different way. But Joe was so supportive and just being like, yes, and maybe this also, or let's try that, but in this way. So what I ended up with for the multiple characters that I played was something very different than I thought it was going to be. But I enjoyed every minute of it. This is like one of the first shows where like Tech Week was, and for me as an actor, I'm not gonna speak for everyone. For me as an actor, Tech Week was really helpful in being like, oh, this light is going to be over here at this point. Let me do something goofy over here. So thank you so much to the crew and like everyone who worked in The Interrobangers, because, you know, us actors, like me personally, I can say that it only fueled me to do more. And I'm just eternally grateful to everyone who worked in this production, because it turned out so differently than I thought it was going to, in like the best ways possible. And that is such a long-winded answer to whatever question you asked.
I just asked you the most open-ended question of how was your experience at Interrobangers. You could have just said it was fine, but I love that you gave me such a detailed and rich experience, because like I was a deck manager on there, and I kind of just like viewed everything as like the bigger picture, just like see a bunch of these little goofy actors, a lot of them freshmen, so it was the first time ever trying out like a college production, and it was just like so fun watching all this like grow together and be like very friendly with each other. Like I gotta say, this is like the best cast that I've ever worked with, just in terms of like being really friendly to each other and with like stage management. It was so lovely watching you all. I mean, you could have just said it was fine, but I love that you gave me such a great response.
Yeah, and like I have to say, you being there made it like so much fun. Like throughout the rehearsal process, you know, we work in the performance hangar. I'm talking as if there's like a huge audience here, but
pop off, King. No. This is your stage. Yeah.
This is my talk show moment. but yeah, so we were in the performance hangar for about like what, months and a little bit. Eric was always there. Huge shout out to Eric and Melanie and Anna. But like Eric specifically, he'd always be like on book or like writing things down. And Eric, you just gave us such confidence to just like try new things. And like we'd say a line in a different way and we'd look over. If Eric was laughing, then we knew we nailed it. So it's huge shout out to all of stage management. But Eric, because you're the one I'm talking to, especially you.
I love y'all so much. Just like so many goofy little things are going. Like I'd see like Ethan, friend of the show, just like rolling around as he was like acting as a dog, and I'd be like, what's going on right now? Like I read the point in the night, like, and then it was in the actual show, and the audience was pretty much like laughing, and it was just like,
yeah,
they did good, they did great.
Yeah, well, what I love about live theater is that, you know, the first time you do something, it can seem so weird, but then you'll do it like 1,000 more times throughout rehearsal, you'll forget how weird it is, and the first time you do it in front of an audience who's never seen it, you're sort of reminded of like, oh yeah, I'm sort of doing something that is not really natural, and you know that's why it's theater. That's why it's entertainment performing. That's why we're telling the story in this specific way. So yeah, very grateful to the Intera Bangers. It was amazing to be in.
What a goof and a gaff we had all together.
What a goof and a gaff.
All right, David. Thank you so much for calling. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to cut your time short because as WMFO Constitution states, I have to read out a PSA within the hour. So unfortunately, I'll have to say goodbye to you. It was so lovely.
I may go to bed.
Classic David move. Look at this loser going to sleep at what? 2? Oh my God.
I'm actually waking up at 9 to get on a call for Corn Tickets 2's Shrek the Musical. We're having a staff meeting in the morning, but all you fellers out there who are interested in doing student theater, Shrek the Musical in the spring. Keep an eye out.
I actually would like to retract my previous statement. David is my go. He's quite literally the best person I've ever met. No, but literally one of the people I'd say I'm closest to on campus, just because he's such a lovely person, such a warm, kind person who's like always like lending an ear, and now I'm lending an ear on air. But yeah, it was so lovely talking to you. Yes, I'll see you in 3 days, I guess.
Yeah, I'll be back. Or no, it's already Saturday. Wait. Oh my God, it's Friday. Okay, yes, Sunday. All right. I love you, King, though. Have a wonderful night.
I love you too, dog. I'll see you later.
You read that PSA. Good night, everyone.
I'm about to pop off.
Bye.
That was lovely. What a wonderful experience. Actually, before I go into this PSA, I just want to say I find it hard sometimes to have conversations with people, but it's like always so wonderful to like hear someone really speak from the heart about like something they're passionate about. Especially David, just cause I've known him for like the small fraction of period of time that I've known him. It's just wonderful hearing like his experience as an actor, because he just is one of the most passionate people I know about acting. Like he enjoys learning about psychology, but it just seems like acting is the thing that keeps him going through college. And it was just so wonderful to see him grow as an actor during the Intera Bangers. And it's such a goof and a gaff. But seriously, he's just such a wonderful actor. You better check him out in Shrek, because that's his first time actually working as a choreographer, which is actually quite wonderful. It's lovely to hear, because he's always done like a little bit of dance. I've heard he's an excellent dancer. I've actually not seen him. Well, I did. I watched Spring Awakening. Great show. Awesome show. He did excellent. I did see him dance. It's just I have the memory of a goldfish. He was wonderful. And I'm just so excited to see what he has next. Speaking of next, I have a PSA to read, and then we'll do a song, we'll do our little WFO, and then we'll see where we go from there. This, I chose this as random, this is alternative scouting PSA. The Baden-Powell Service Association is an alternative national scouting organization that is looking to expand in the New England region. The BPSA's traditional scouting program focuses on learning outdoor skills and community service. If you're interested in learning more about this co-educational inclusive program, more information and resources about joining or starting a new group in your area can be found at www.bpsa-us.org or by calling 636-542-8855. A public service message from the Baden-Powell Service Association and WMFO and Medford Tufts Community Radio. Lovely. I'll give you some paper crinkling ASMR. Lovely. So I know I said early on this broadcast that I would play some. I'll play different things. I'll play parts of the playlist. I think I'm just gonna skip to like the good parts, just because it was time, but I think that was lovely getting the insight on the interview, just from an actor. I'm a deck manager. I like doing stuff that's practical. I'm learning how to become a director soon. That's less practical, that's more imaginative, but it's also good to learn like from actors. They're what makes the show. Like no, like the director's not gonna, like most directors are actors as well, but most directors are gonna be brave enough to put an entire show together and then be in it. Some are a little more egotistical, but nevertheless, actors just make up the show. They're the people that the audience comes to see, and they build up a show. They make it what it is. They take the director's instructions. They go wild with it. And they all are very vulnerable every time that they audition. Just because they just want to like put themselves out there. They want to show what they're capable of expressing for the character, and they want to show the audience that they know how to tell the story the way they believe that the way that they feel it is meant to be told. So lovely. It's just so fun. And it's also fun to listen to David talk. Such a goof, a little jokester, as one might put it. Let's wait a couple of minutes, so I can hit you with that classic, introduction, and then we'll go into song, and then we'll do it again, because I need to do it the bottom and top of the hour. Anyways, this is... Continue with on the line of actors, deck managers, whatnot. David also mentioned Maurice Parent, one of the professors here at Tufts University. Lovely man. Just gotta put that out there. Just what a wonderful person. David, and Ethan, as previously mentioned, friend of the show. We're all taking advanced acting course together. Very fun. It's so wonderful just exploring the creative side of acting and just different methods. And the thing that I like the most about that class is just like how Maurice sort of inspires you to just think outside of the box, to think about what you could be doing as an actor to both service the story as well as other actors that work alongside you. And I think that's what kind of got he kind of inspired me to go back into acting, because I used to act my sophomore year. Very fun. It was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I also did the musical as ensemble, Mamma Mia as ensemble, my sophomore year of high school. And then my junior year, I auditioned for, I think it was like Rumors. It's a straight play or the word for like non-musicals. And I didn't get in. And I think here in college, I also auditioned for Interrobangers, my freshman year. And I also did not get in. And I felt very discouraged, which I shouldn't have been. I should have continued to do more theater, but unfortunately that's the way it went. I was very discouraged just like because of different reasons. Mostly just because I felt like I wasn't doing enough. And second of all, it was more that I felt like I was among so many people who have been acting their whole lives and I didn't feel as worthy to get up there and do and try to make art. But Maurice told me something very important, which is that it doesn't matter like the way I feel. I don't have to feel like an imposter. I shouldn't feel that way. I should just, if I know that I want to act, if I know that I want to participate in art, then there's nothing that should be holding me back, which is something that I'd like you viewers to know that if you, again, going back, if you feel that you want to do something, even if you're not good at it, you should just go for it. Because who's going to stop you? Who's going to stop you, huh? There's no one's restraining you. But anyways, that was my little inspirational part before we go into our next hour. This is Eric. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tubbs Freeform Radio. We will be listening to Rhiannon to transition us into the next hour.